Hello, everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. Thank you for being here today. My special guests today are you and me. That's right. And this show is for you and for me. The first thing I want to jump right in and start talking about is turmeric. Everybody's talking about turmeric these days, right? And there's a reason. It's one of these, dare I say, superfoods. It seems to cure everything. Now, the first thing I want to say is there is no one food or one spice or one thing that can cure everything. But turmeric does a lot of wonderful things. I noticed recently that I was putting turmeric in just about everything, and when I took notice of that, I thought, what are you doing, Karen? Why are you doing this? And then I thought about it. And the reason why I started doing it is because in the work that I do, working with the Food Revolution Network on the summit and in our course, Plant Power and Thriving, and for all the people that I speak to on this show and the work and research we do at Responsible Eating and Living, my subconscious was getting the message about turmeric. Because the research is just overwhelming. And my subconscious started talking to my consciousness, and I started putting turmeric in a lot of recipes. And that's what it's all about, making healthy, delicious food. That's what I like to do. And when I discover that there's something that we should be eating, I want to put it in everything and make sure it tastes good. I think one of the reasons why turmeric was reaching out to me, in a sense, is this. Well, a number of things. Back 12 years ago, I was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer. For many of you who are listening to this program, you know my cancer story with advanced ovarian cancer. I ended up being treated for chemotherapy with Dr. Keith Block at the Block Center, and he put me on lots of nutraceuticals and supplements. It cost me a lot of money. Of course, insurance didn't cover that. One of the things that I took was curcumin, which is that important ingredient in turmeric, these curcuminoids, and they need to be bioavailable, and that's another subject. I was on a supplement that had about 600 milligrams of curcumin or curcuminoids. I don't have the label in front of me anymore, so I don't remember exactly. And I took two at each meal, so six a day for a total of 3,600 milligrams. Now, that's a lot. And I was taking it because turmeric has anti-cancer properties. Awesome. And the spice itself is quite nutritious. But one tablespoon of turmeric has about 136 milligrams of curcumin. A teaspoon has a third less. So I was getting a lot more of that active ingredient, curcumin, when I was taking these supplements. The question is more better? Does it really make a difference? There's over 15,000 research studies right now on turmeric, and I don't know that we have the exact answer. But all I know is I'm here today, so I'm glad I did what I did. And now I want to stay healthy, and adding fresh turmeric or organic turmeric root powder seems to be a smart thing to do. But here's the other reason why it's been on my mind more so lately. There's been a lot of talk about turmeric and how it enhances our brain function. And it's produced some remarkable recoveries in Alzheimer's patients. And I have been spending a lot of time the last year or so helping my mom with mild dementia. And it's something that I don't wish on anyone. Losing your mind is a terrible thing. Fortunately for my mom, it's very mild, but at the same time, because it's mild, it's very frustrating for her. She knows that her memory, her short-term memory, doesn't work very well. And when you're reaching to remember something and it's not there, it can be very, very frustrating. And it's certainly frustrating for all the family members when we have to repeat ourselves many, many times. I think to myself, what can I do to keep my brain healthy and functioning at peak performance for as long as possible? And my brain has been sending me messages saying, keep eating turmeric in everything. So that's what I've been doing. Along with, of course, everything else, the dark leafy greens and the mushrooms and the onions. It's not just one thing. It's a healthy whole foods, plant, varied diet. And it has to be delicious. And for me, it is. So I want to talk about putting turmeric in food. Now, I've tried both fresh and turmeric powder. I use them both. The turmeric, the fresh turmeric, if you've ever used fresh ginger, it's similar. It comes with this beige-colored, thick, rough skin that needs to be peeled off or scraped off. I like to use the back of a spoon and with the edge of the spoon scrape off the skin. And inside, it's this gorgeous bright orange root. And turmeric is a lovely bright orange. The first thing I ever used turmeric in, to my knowledge, aside from using a curry that had it mixed in without my knowing, I just grabbed curry powder for recipes that called for it, not knowing what was in it. I used turmeric specifically decades ago, probably, for tofu scramble. Tofu scramble is a great dish. We make it a lot. We have many different tofu scramble recipes on our website. Some are a little more complicated than others. Some are more rich. Some are not so rich. They're all flavorful. They're all wonderful. And there are so many different ways you can make tofu scramble. You can season it Italian style or Indian style or Mexican style. It's all about herbs and spices, remember? But turmeric is the secret ingredient in tofu scramble, not so secret, that makes it yellow, because turmeric has this bright orange color, and when you add it to things, those things take on that beautiful, rich color. And we like to give our tofu scramble a yellow color because it reminds us of eggs. Now, I have no desire to consume eggs. I don't want to consume eggs for nutritional purposes. I personally don't think they're very good for you. They're very high in cholesterol. And I don't want to encourage the horrific way hens are raised for eggs all over the world. So I don't consume eggs. But I used to when I was very young. And when I'm making a tofu scramble for other people who aren't used to consuming tofu scramble and you want to give them something familiar like a scramble that they know, the color doesn't hurt. The color helps. And it's pretty. But there's an extra benefit. Turmeric is so good for you. So tofu scramble was like the first thing I added turmeric to. And now I'm adding it to everything. As I mentioned before, the curry spices contain turmeric. And when I would make an Indian-style soup or stew, very often turmeric was part of the mix. And now I have two big shelves of all the herbs and spices you can imagine. I love having a big choice. I buy my herbs and spices in bulk, organic. I keep them in these tins that I specifically purchased for herbs and spices. We bought like, I don't know how many, I have 20, 30 of them. And we fill them up and keep all these wonderful herbs and spices in them. So sometimes I'll make my own mix, a curry mix or another flavor mix always adding turmeric. Now, not too long ago, a few years ago, it was discovered that black pepper makes turmeric more bioavailable. So those curcuminoids don't do very well in water, and there's got to be a way to make them more bioavailable so that you can use them in your body. And black pepper is one of those things. So now, whenever I'm making turmeric or something with turmeric, I add a pinch of black pepper or a little more if I feel black pepper is going to enhance the flavor. And that really works. And the other magic ingredient that works with turmeric is fat. And keep in mind, we all need fat. Fat is a macronutrient. Just like protein and carbohydrate, we need protein, carbohydrate, and fat from whole, minimally processed plant foods. Fat is important, and the best place to get our fat is from where? I want to hear it. Come on, tell me. Raw nuts and seeds. Raw nuts and seeds. Avocado's good, and whole coconut is fine too. Whole, minimally processed plant foods. We need our fat. And fat makes things even more yummier. So the trick to getting the most benefit from turmeric is to consume it with black pepper and some fat. And that comes back to what I've been doing with it. Now, when you make a tofu scramble, for example, black pepper is great in any tofu scramble. And tofu already has some fat in it. So you're good to go there. But I've been making a lot of other recipes recently, and I want to tell you about some of them. So I recently discovered this wonderful treat in my freezer that I had forgotten about. Red bell pepper turmeric dressing. It's so good. Now, my partner Gary and I made a bunch of recipes a few months ago for the Food Revolution Summit. The 2018 Food Revolution Summit. And if you were participating in that, you would have heard my 2 minutes or so when I introduced the recipe of the day each day. One of the recipes was our millet croquettes, and I added the red bell pepper turmeric dressing to go with it. And we were traveling right after that. So we put the big jar of red bell pepper dressing, red bell pepper turmeric dressing, in the freezer. And I just saw that it was there. And I'm actually going to be traveling in a week or so to join Gary, who's now in San Jose. We'll be directing into the woods for this summer. We do a bunch of directing for a company out there in California. And this one is coming up soon. Gary's already out there, and I'll be there in about a week. So what I've been doing at home, I'm just trying to clear out the kitchen of stuff. I want to make sure there isn't anything perishable before I leave, and I'm working on eating what's in the freezer and in the pantries. I just want to minimize the amount of food that's in the house when I'm gone. And I went into the freezer to see what's there for me today. And I found the red pepper turmeric dressing, which is great because I already used up all of the tahini that's in the house, and I use tahini all the time for salad dressings. It's my favorite go-to for salad dressings. And if you're making salad dressings and you think you need oil in your salad dressings, think again. Oil is not a health-promoting food. It has a lot of calories. Once again, I'll say we need fat, yes, but from whole, minimally processed plant food. So most of our dressings have blended into it a raw nut or a raw seed for that delicious, yummy, fat creaminess. Okay, so I'm out of tahini. I find the red pepper turmeric dressing, and it has tahini in it. And wow, when we first made this dressing, we had made many other recipes, so I really didn't have the opportunity to focus on it. And now I am enjoying it so much. What a gift. And for those of you who don't like leftovers or don't think putting some food in the freezer and taking it out later is worthwhile, I want to tell you that I don't agree. It is such a wonderful treat to find something delicious in the freezer that you've made for yourself. It's a gift. It's a gift from yourself in the past to yourself right now. Right, so that's the red pepper turmeric dressing, and it's got black pepper in it, it's got a fat in it, and it has fresh turmeric in it. And guess what? You can find that recipe at responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's right there on the homepage. I hope you enjoy it. And if you're looking at the website sometime after this show was broadcast, you can just put red bell pepper turmeric dressing in the search bar and find it. Or you could go to the recipe index on our site and scroll down to salad dressings. It will be there for you forever. Now let's move to the next turmeric luscious recipe. I have to admit that some of these recipes I don't come up with the original idea. I might be at a restaurant and tried something or saw something listed on the menu and I think I've got to go home and make that. And the red bell pepper turmeric dressing was one of those recipes. I had something similar at Candle Cafe. I do believe theirs has oil in it. And I wanted to go home and make my own whole food plant-based version. And I'm really happy with it. Did I tell you I love it? Okay, back to the next recipe. Another thing that I've had out. There's a juice bar that we like in Manhattan. It's called the Juice Generation. I used to go there whenever I was nearby. And I would get a super-duper greens with no apple, which was a fantastic green juice. And they had no problem leaving the apple out. It was loaded up with all kinds of greens and celery, and it was just yummy. One time, Gary and I were going to the theater, I think, and it was a cool evening, and we wanted a hot drink, as we like to call them sometimes. And there was a juice generation that we hadn't been to before. We stepped in, and they had something called a ginger fix. It was made with almond milk, ginger, chai spices, and agave, and it was so delicious. Now, ginger is another one of those wonderful foods. It's known to be helpful with reducing inflammation. It's good for settling stomachs. I just find it fantastically delicious. I believe it also has some anti-cancer fighting properties. You know, some of these foods that we find are so good for us are typically not just good for one thing, because when something is good for us and it helps boost the immune system, surprise, we find that it's at work fighting just about everything that there is to fight in the body. Shortly after I had that ginger fix at the Juice Generation, I had another creamy, gingery, turmeric-y something or other at Campbell Cafe. And I thought, once again, I've got to make this at home. So I did. And I just posted that on the Responsible Eating and Living website as well. So our ginger turmeric latte, it has fresh turmeric, fresh ginger, coconut milk, and dates. Now you can use ginger powder and turmeric powder as well, either or. And you can change the ingredients to suit your tastes. If you want something really sweet, just add more dates. I find that when I have something with a rich coconut milk or a rich almond milk, it tastes sweeter somehow, even without much sweetness to it. That's just my palate. And of course, I add a pinch of black pepper, because turmeric needs black pepper and fat to make it more bioavailable. And the black pepper works very nicely. It's like if you've ever had chai tea, which is more and more popular these days. Starbucks has it, and many other coffee shop and tea places have a version of chai. Of course, chai means tea, so it's like we're saying tea tea when we say chai tea. But black pepper is one of the spices in traditional chai. Black pepper is great, even in sweet foods. I find it just gives it a nice little pop, a little tickle or something. So it works for me. Now, depending on the plant milk that you use, you can make your latte creamier or richer or thinner and lighter and so on. It's really up to you. But our recipe gives you a starting point. And it's a yummy, cozy drink in the winter, or you could even put it over ice, and then it's good on a hot summer day. We have another new recipe that has very similar ingredients, but is used for a different purpose. And that's what's amazing about food. When you change up the quantities, all of a sudden you have something completely new. We made a turmeric sauce, which is savory. And we called it turmeric because it's fun. Thai, T-H-A-I, and meric from turmeric. We are calling it that because it has some traditional Thai flavors in it, like coconut and basil. And of course, it has the turmeric in it. The coconut, again, is the fat. And there's black pepper in there. There's also ginger in this recipe. One thing that was fun about creating this recipe is something I learned years ago on this program. And unfortunately, right at this moment, I don't remember who it was who shared this information with me. I'm going to have to look into that. It's funny. I'm told things and I remember them. I kind of bookmark them for a later time, and years later I think, oh yeah, we talked about that on the show, and it's time to try it. And this time was a time to try blending coconut flakes in a Vitamix with water. I was told that you can make your own coconut milk just from dried coconut flakes. I had never tried it. And we keep coconut flakes in the house. I like to add coconut flakes on my cereal in the morning, either oatmeal or steel-cut oats or polenta. It's yummy. And so I'm running out of food here, as I mentioned, because I'm trying to clear out the pantry and the refrigerator before I leave for the summer. And I had some dried coconut flakes, and I'm thinking, I want to make a sauce. I want it to have turmeric in it. I want it to have a fat. What can I use? So I grabbed the turmeric flakes and I blended them up, and it worked fantastic. This sauce was terrific. It was turmeric. And it was yummy over just about everything. So you can find that at responsibleeatingandliving.com too. Turmeric goes in just about anything. I told you a few weeks ago about a new recipe, pumpkin seed crusted tofu. Remember that one? Has anyone tried it? It's so delicious. I make a breading out of pumpkin seeds instead of using bread. Now, I don't have a big problem with bread in general. I don't eat a lot of bread. If I do, I try to make it myself or use sprouted grains, something like that. But I don't eat a lot of bread at home. Bread is a little more processed than I would like. Now, something else I learned on this show a long time ago, and is something that I bookmarked and have not done yet, stay tuned, is to make a bread from sprouted grains and just blend it into a batter and then make the bread from that without even going to making flour. Has anybody done that? One day I'll do it. I just haven't gotten around to it. Stay tuned. But meanwhile, in an effort to make a breading without using flour, because flour is a refined food, I use pumpkin seeds. And one of the spices, or actually two of the spices I used, were turmeric and black pepper. So there's another way to get turmeric into your lives deliciously. This is such a fantastic recipe. You have to try it. And it's at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Something else I've been having a lot of fun with And it comes back to all of the herbs and spices we have in the house, is making my own bouillon cube, or something like a bouillon cube. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever made soup with a bouillon cube, many people use bouillon cubes for convenience. It's a little cube, and depending on the brand or the quality or the type, the cube may be dry or it may be a little mushy. I find the ones that are made with better ingredients, more whole foods, tend to be moister and larger. Anyway, you put that in water and all of a sudden your water has a nice flavor like a broth. As if you had slaved for hours cooking vegetables and then poured off the vegetable water to use as a broth. Convenience. I don't know that convenience is so good, but it is convenient. What I like to do instead of buying bouillon cubes, because some of them actually have some ingredients in them that aren't good. They're artificial, or they're things that you don't want to have in your food. I make my own herb and spice mix. I go over to the space where the herbs and spices are with a bowl and a spoon, and I think, what do I want to have in my soup today? And I'll dip in, and of course, the first things that go in my bowl are turmeric and black pepper, because I'm putting turmeric in everything. And then I'll add a ton of onion powder, because onion powder adds so much flavor to food. And by a ton, I'll start with at least a tablespoon and see how I go with that. Garlic powder. And then I think, what kind of herbs do I want? Sometimes I go French with rosemary, thyme, marjoram, basil. Sometimes I go a little more Indian with, I have two mixes. One's a garam masala and one is a madras curry. Or I'll make my own with cardamom, coriander, cumin. The turmeric's already in there, but turmeric goes into curries. And I'll make my own mix. Sometimes if I want a slightly meaty flavor, now this is going to surprise you, I'll add a little fennel or aniseed. Fennel and aniseed has a mild licorice type flavor. And if you don't like licorice, don't say, oh, da, da, da. You just want a little bit. And it gives an interesting dimension. I discovered that some of the meat analogs, especially the ones that come from Taiwan, the veggie beef varieties, have a little fennel flavor in it. And it's very good. I don't want to say that it makes it taste like animal flesh, because it doesn't. But it does give it this umami, or this satisfying flavor that works with all the other vegetable flavors. So I throw a little of that in. Sometimes I'll add caraway seeds too. They just give an extra dimension that gives a fullness to your soup broth. So instead of getting bouillon cubes, I like to go to my herb and spice collection and make something even better. And of course, I never add salt. Now sometimes I might add a little piece of dried kelp, which is a seaweed. And I do that to get a little iodine, because we all need iodine, and it also has a salty flavor. So that's okay to add to soup. Not too much, just a little. And there's another way to get turmeric in the body. Okay, one more. How about one more recipe with turmeric? And this is a treat. As I mentioned before, Gary's away in San Jose, and he went to Press Juicery. I recommended that he go there because we always like to get their freeze. They have wonderful juices and smoothies there, but they make a frozen dessert made from all natural whole food ingredients, minimally processed. And they're like soft serve ice cream made from almonds and dates and other flavors like strawberry, chocolate, vanilla. And they even have a green tea, or a matcha green tea, that has kale and spinach in it. And it's delicious. I did not know they added a few new flavors. And one of them is mango turmeric. So Gary had had a mango turmeric freeze, and I thought, I have to start making that one. And right away I got to it. I soaked some almonds, and I happened to have a mango in the house that was ripe. And I blended the soaked almonds after I soaked them overnight. I rinsed them and then added fresh water to it and added in the mango turmeric, of course, and a little black pepper. So there I have the fat from the almonds and the black pepper, and they both make the turmeric more bioavailable. I had one date in the house. I didn't have any more dates, but I don't like things too sweet. And I blended it up together. It was fantastic. And I could have had it like as a smoothie treat, but I wanted to make it like a freeze. And I poured it in ice cube trays and waited patiently for the whole thing to freeze up together. And then later, I wanted to try it, so I blended a small portion of it in the Vitamix. I just wanted to make enough for me, but unfortunately, the way many of these blenders work, they need to have sufficient amount of liquid in it or material in it to blend it. And I was only doing one portion and it wasn't enough. So when I put it in the Vitamix, it just ground up everything and put everything on the sides of the container, which I patiently scraped down and I collected all of it out there. And it ended up making a very nice single serving of almond mango turmeric freeze or frozen dessert or ice cream or whatever you want to call it. I loved it. I had another try at it yesterday, but I just simply ate the frozen cubes that I had made of it, which was good too. I have some other ideas. I haven't published this as a recipe yet because it's not ready for you, but I will soon. And why not add turmeric into foods to make a treat, too? The color is just so fantastic. I've used turmeric in so many things, like I said. Once I made a birthday cake. It was with Ariel, the cartoon figure in the Disney movie, The Little Mermaid. And I wanted it to be colorful, like the cartoon, but I didn't want to use artificial colors. So for the scales, I used kiwi, and for the hair, I made a few different mixes of colors, but turmeric was in there because turmeric gives a wonderful bright color. I made that cake a long time ago, and I really need to put that back together again. It was really gorgeous, and I love the fact that I used all these natural things rather than artificial colors. Now that's the thing about turmeric, and that's what I want to get into next. I think I talked about this on a few shows ago when I was talking about food stains and how to clean them. I have to admit, eating a lot of turmeric lately, I've stained my clothes quite a bit. Turmeric has this lovely, bright yellow-orange color. It's been used a long time as a natural dye, and it will stain your clothes. So please, eat your turmeric any way you want, in sauces, in dressings, in stews, in soups, in desserts, and be careful, because turmeric can stain. And as I mentioned in my program where I was talking about treating stains, you can use a variety of natural things to remove the turmeric stain. The first thing you want to do is get to it as soon as you can. I like to run cold water and put vinegar on it, maybe some baking powder, some detergent. Sometimes I go back and forth depending on the stain and how difficult it is. And the key to treating stains very often is time. Be patient with it. Give it time, and it will come out. I know, because I've done it many, many times already. Something I haven't used turmeric for, not yet anyway, but I've read about it, And I'm kind of curious about it, so maybe if you've had some experience with it, let me know, because I want to know more about this amazing turmeric. I've read that it can be very helpful for the skin as a facial cleanser, for example, and I've seen photographs of people who use it as a mask or as a cleanser, putting it on the face. And I instantly think, is that really useful? Is it beneficial? Because I know when I cook with it, it stains. So would I want to put that right on my face and then get this yellow orangey stain? Maybe not the best thing to do, but if you've tried it, I really would be curious to hear more about it. It's also supposed to help brighten teeth. And again, I have the same issue because of its color. Does it really work, or does it yellow your teeth? So that's a curious thing I've read about. And it's also recommended to include it in a customized foundation for makeup. It is a nice color, so maybe there are some useful ways to use it on the skin. I can't say, I haven't tried it. What's fascinating to me, though, is we are used to many products today, products that make our lives easier, products that make things convenient, products that make us feel better or look better. And since we've been through this industrial age, many ingredients in too many products are synthetic, artificial, and we discover have detrimental side effects in many cases. And one thing I'm trying to do with my recipes, for example, is if there are foods that I've enjoyed before and I want to make them healthier, I think about what can I do to get the taste that I'm familiar with and not use artificial ingredients or not use refined ingredients. And more I'm finding that it's just a shift in awareness, and it's really easy to do. And the results, for the most part, are better. I love whole foods. And nature has provided for us. I can't tell you how many sweet treats I have made that are so much better with dates than using refined sugar. Almost every sweet recipe is better with dates, because dates are a whole food. They have fiber, they have nutrients, and they have a dimension to their flavor, especially when you get a medjool date that's soft and gooey. It has vanilla caramel kind of taste to it. It's just fantastic. And anytime we refine a food, we take away from it not only nutrients, but flavor. It's fascinating to me, right? Getting back to whole foods, getting away from industrialized foods, has so many benefits. And the most obvious benefit to me is taste. This is also another reason why I recommend to everyone, I try to encourage everyone to find their kitchen. Industrialized foods use ingredients that make it easier to manufacture in large quantities and also make it more economical. It's not about making a product that's good for you. It's about profit. When we want to make something in our own kitchen, we can choose quality ingredients and make something really phenomenal. Industrialized foods are popular for a lot of reasons. They're popular because they make things convenient. They've also manipulated the public into thinking we need some of these foods and that they are more convenient. But with proper planning and proper organization, maybe some of these foods aren't as convenient as they seem. And they're certainly not as tasty or as health-promoting as foods that you make in your own home. That's why I'm creating all of these recipes. We offer them for free at responsibleeatingandliving.com. I hope you find your kitchen and start making some of these really delicious foods that are going to nourish you and your family deliciously. If you're just experimenting with turmeric, especially turmeric powder, go slowly. Try a little bit. If you add too much turmeric to some things, it can make the flavor very bitter. Try maybe a half a teaspoon in a soup or a stew just to see where you go with it. Now, we are all individuals with very individual makeups, individual microbiomes, and something that may work for someone may not work in the same way for someone else. Where am I going with this? Some people actually have allergies to turmeric or intolerances. So I just want to read through a few things just so you know. Turmeric has given some people upset stomachs, nausea, dizziness, or diarrhea. And turmeric can thin the blood. It can slow blood clotting. So if you're thinking about having surgery, sometimes this is included in the things not to do before surgery. That is, consume turmeric because it can slow blood clotting. That's why I recommend if you're new to turmeric, start slowly and see how you do with it. And I hope you learn to love turmeric because turmeric can have benefits for so many things: arthritis, heartburn, joint pain, stomach pain, Crohn's disease, headaches, bronchitis, itchy skin, depression, Alzheimer's disease, and of course, cancer and heart disease. So whether you call it turmeric or turmeric, I hope you try it soon. Now, before we go, I just want to talk about one more thing. We're moving from turmeric now to water. Healthy, delicious food is essential for living. And we also need clean air and clean water. You may know that I am super passionate about water distillation. And I promote a distiller that I use and I think is the best on the market. I just received an email from the company that makes my favorite distiller, Aquany. They write these blog posts from time to time, and right now, the most recent one is about tap water contamination in Salem, Oregon, where there has been a problem with toxic algae in the drinking water. And sometimes what people will do is boil their water to kill the bacteria, to kill the problems, like E. coli, for example. But unfortunately, this particular problem in Salem, Oregon right now cannot be improved with boiling water. What happens is boiling the water concentrates the toxins and makes the water more dangerous for consumption. And the people at Aquany are saying that their distiller, they've tested it, and they show that it removes this particular cyanobacteria, or as they describe it, their distiller eliminated the cyanotoxins to below detectable limits. Distillation can also virtually eliminate arsenic, lead, uranium, mercury, and so many other contaminants that may be in your tap water, that may be there and no one has told you. There are so many different things that can happen in our drinking water. I love tap water. I'm so glad that we have access to water in the comfort of our own home. This is really important. But the water needs to be clean. And anything can happen at any time. And I'm sure there are contaminants that get into our water from time to time that we don't hear about. Something that's short term, that comes in and goes out. And then there's Flint, Michigan. I do not believe that filters and reverse osmosis produce the same quality results in all instances. That's why I use a distiller. That's why I recommend everyone use a distiller. And the reason why I use the Aqua Nui distiller is simple. I interviewed one of the people from Aqua Nui on this program. You can look for it on Responsible Eating and Living's website. There's a lot of information there. But one of the things I learned was that most of the cheaper distillers will boil all the water off, and then it goes through the condenser coils and drips out and goes into your water. Well, you don't want to boil off the residue in the bottom of the tank that you're trying to separate from the water you're purifying. Aqua Nui does that. It leaves a good amount of water in the tank so that you're not distilling off the collected, concentrated residue of impurities. Distillation not only removes the impurities that are in your water every day just from traveling through pipes, but it will also protect you against unknown and surprise releases of toxins in the water. And personally, I think that's important. And while we're talking about distillation, I want to remind you, because I frequently get this question because of information on the internet with different businesses trying to promote their products. Do not worry about the pH of your distilled water. Do not worry about distilled water leaching minerals from your body. You do not need to add minerals to your distilled water. You might for flavor, for taste, if you like that, but it's not necessary. And you don't need to make your water more alkaline. These are myths. Your body is smart. We get minerals, or we should get our minerals, from whole, minimally processed plant foods. I've been drinking distilled water for decades, and I love it. The only downside to drinking distilled water, in my mind, is when you're used to drinking water that is so clean, so pure, you can taste other water. Taste the toxins in it, taste the chlorine in it, taste the staleness in it, taste the unpleasant things that are in there. I feel that distilled water makes a much better cup of tea. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I know it makes a better cup of coffee. Very often in restaurants where the water is not filtered, even to remove the taste of chlorine, I'll get a cup of tea and I can taste it in the water because I'm used to drinking clear, clean, pure water. I don't want to be about doom and gloom. I don't want to scare you and say you've got to buy a distiller because you never know when your water is going to be contaminated. But I am encouraging you to look at the issue and make an informed choice. Anything can happen at any time with our water system. And there are more stories just like the one I just read at myaquanui.com about the toxic algae in the drinking water in Salem, Oregon. There are stories like this all the time. And if we're into preventative health, eating the foods that are going to boost our immune system and make us strong, I think we should be doing the same with our water. Drinking water from plastic bottles is not a good idea. The degrading plastic can leach into the water and cause a lot of health problems. And as you probably know, it's an environmental disaster creating plastic bottles for our water and other beverages. Much more water is used in making those bottles than consuming the actual water. I have a couple of glass bottles at home that have a silicone coating to it or a packaging to it, so if it falls, it doesn't break. It's a little heavier to bring along, but personally, I think it's worth it to bring along my clean water and not have to worry if the bottle's going to get too hot and if the plastic is going to leach into the water. Last but not least, my favorite distiller, Aqua Nui, is made in the United States. So if you're interested, you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com. We have a link that goes directly to my favorite distiller, the Aqua Nui. Okay, we've covered food today with turmeric and many wonderful recipes. We've touched on water and how important it is to be clean and pure. I guess we should talk about air and breathing in the last few minutes. At home here, we like to say we breathe for a living. It's June. It's June, June, June. Just because it's June, June, June. That's from the musical Carousel. But it is June. And one thing that I look forward to in June is the blooming of the linden tree. We have several linden trees around our apartment, and one is growing tall right next to our terrace. And for one precious week in June, the linden flowers are in bloom and create the most wonderful fragrance. And I'm hoping they bloom before I leave next week. They look like they're just about to, and I can't wait to breathe and breathe in the linden tree's fragrance. Now, it's also appropriate to talk about the linden tree on this show. It's all about food because the linden tree flowers that I love so much to breathe in, they can be dried and brewed as a delicious and potent tea. I used to have it regularly when I lived in the south of France because tilleul, which is what it is called in France, is available everywhere. Any restaurant you go to, when you ask for an infusion or an infusion, you'll usually be offered mint or verveine or tilleul. Verveine is verbena. And tilleul is from the linden tree. And there's so many health benefits of the drinking linden tea because it's loaded with phytonutrients, flavonoids. Drinking the tea from the linden tree is supposed to be useful for reducing anxiety, reducing mental stress. Don't we all need that? And it can help in the prevention of chronic diseases, thanks to the antioxidant content. It has quercetin and camphorol, which act as free radical scavengers. It detoxifies the body, and it can help in reducing colds and flu, or inflamed and swollen membranes through the mouth and respiratory tracts. It can help reduce coughing and irritation, and help eliminate congestion. It's been called a true triple threat to colds by being a major immune system booster. That's tea from the linden tree, or tilleul, as I used to call it. And I don't know why I'm not drinking more of it. I have to order some right away. And it's best when the tea is made from clean, pure water. And one more thing about tea before we go. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm a promoter of drinking tea that is made from loose tea, not tea in bags. The bags are wasteful. They may be, quote, convenient, a word I hate, but the paper is not necessary. And I find that when you brew tea from loose tea, the tea is a lot more flavorful. So if you want to enjoy your tea, if you enjoy tea already and you want to enjoy it more, just take a little tip from me, keep it loose. And that can be done many ways. You can steep your tea in a teapot with a basket with the loose tea, or you could just throw the tea in the bottom of your pot and then strain it afterwards. It makes all the difference. I'm here, I'm waiting for the linden tree to bloom, and I can't wait to breathe when it does. Isn't that something fun to look forward to? I think so. If you have a linden tree near you, I hope you're enjoying its fragrance either now or soon to come, or maybe it's already bloomed for you and you'll have to wait until next year. But here's to the linden tree. I love it. Okay, everybody, we've covered a lot today. A lot today and a latte, a turmeric ginger latte, right? I hope you've enjoyed it. I have. Send me your questions. Send me your comments. Send me your thoughts. at info@realmeals.org. You can find me at info@realmeals.org. And also visit responsibleeatingandliving.com for all of those recipes I talked about today on the program. In the meanwhile, enjoy your turmeric, enjoy your tea, enjoy some clean, pure water, enjoy breathing, and have a delicious week.